Good morning and welcome on this beautiful, fresh Sunday morning. It's great to see you all here. For those who are visiting with us this morning, my name is Pastor John, and I've been doing some pulpit supply here for a while, and it's been a real blessing to me, and my prayer is that it's been a blessing to you. It is great that we have a family here today, and there'll be a baptism. That's very exciting in the life of not only the family, but in the family of the church. So it is great that you can be here this morning. Before we start our worship, let us take a moment and bow our heads, come before God in time of prayer. Let us pray. Father, all-powerful and living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. When he humbled himself to come among us as a man, he fulfilled the plan that you formed so long ago and opened the way for us to salvation. And now we watch for that day, hoping that that day of salvation promised to us will be ours when Christ our Lord will come again in his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to follow along in your bulletin as we come together to have our call to worship. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say,
"Come, let us walk to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that we may teach us to our ways, and that we may walk in his paths."
For out of Zion shall go forth instructions and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take sword up against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. I would invite Christopher Hoenenveld to come forward at this time.
The Advent wreath helps us recollect the miracle of God's becoming human for our sake. It is decked with greenery, causing us to remember the newness of life we have in Jesus Christ. The first candle reminds us of the prophet's hope for God's salvation to come. The second candle reminds us of the angel's song of peace for all the earth, as we find in Luke's gospel. And suddenly, there was the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." So let us sing as we celebrate the coming of God to the world.
Thank you.
seated. Let us prepare the way of the Lord. Let us make our confessions to Him at this time. Let us pray. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Hear the words of assurance that comes to us this morning from Isaiah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your sins are pardoned. The penalty is paid. Thanks be to God. Did God create people so wicked and perverse?
People? No.
Then where does this corrupt human nature come from?
The fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the earth. This all sets the voice of our nature that we are all conceived and born in a sinful condition.
But are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Let us come before God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your coming in the power to bring all nations and all people under the rule of your Lordship through Jesus Christ. We know about and believe in. And we hope, Father, the future advent of your kingdom that we know about, believe in. And that we find the source of all hope from your first advent in Bethlehem. As we enter into this season today of Advent and continue to journey through, Father, help us to be that expectant people. We pray that you bend our thoughts and aspirations beyond the moment, that beyond what we can see in front of us at any given time. Although our prayer is that we do our daily tasks well and to your glory right now. Help us to be the people who look ahead, who peer around the various cosmic corners, and who know that the ultimate things of existence in this universe are the things that have been secured for us in Jesus Christ. And that they are real already now in the kingdom that He has established. Father, in Advent, we sing about having open hearts for you to enter in. And may we, by the grace of your Spirit, be open indeed. Make us open to the way of your kingdom and the kingdom of the influence about our decisions at making it work, at school and at home. Make us open towards others and enable us to see each and every person we meet as Jesus in our midst. Make us open to opportunities, O God, to serve others, to serve your whole creation out of devotion to you and to your Son, who showed us what true service is all about when he came into a virgin's womb to salvage the universe, you fashioned in the beginning. And as peoples whose hearts are open indeed, we make petition this morning for your needy world. This Advent season once again sees a world that is struggling. Struggling with COVID, with the numbers continue to rise. Father, the fact that we are so focused on that, we don't see the world that it's a world of violence. And we know, Father, that throughout the world there is terrorism that still strikes the unsuspecting. And it's so easy for us when we go through all of this concerns that weigh heavy on our hearts and to affect each one of us, Father, we know that the world needs saving. But it's sometimes not so easy to believe in Christ that it's already been saved. Beyond the glitter and goodwill, the warmth of the Christmas season, Father, help us as Christians to find in Jesus' birth long ago the true reason for the hope that we have in this present moment. And lead us to be workers for peace, bearers of shalom and agents of healing in this world, Father. Here in this place, you see the needs and the hurts of our members throughout this holiday season. For those, Father, that are unable to travel, for those who are unable to gather with families, who are those who are what we would say not in their bubble, Father, we just pray for those who are lonely, those who are struggling with depression, just those who are struggling in general. Stand close to everyone here this morning. Be, Father, with those college students who are worried about exams or fretting about the various issues that may crop up as they're trying to do their studies. Father, be with the parent today who has real cause for alarm over the course of a child's life. Father, lift the clouds of depression, minister to those with chronic pain, give them relief, we pray. Lead those to a better time who are unemployed, whose businesses are struggling right now, who's worried about their family's finances, worried about what the new year may hold, Father. Grant the coming weeks and months will hold as we continue to go and through Advent and celebrate Christmas, that it'll hold a new and good and wonderful things in seeking a meaningful outlet for the gifts, Father, that you have given them. You alone see us as we are, Lord God, and we beg you to nurture us according to our needs, to minister to us according to our hurts, to heal us in all the places where you see that we are broken and sick. But despite what happens in our lives and what's going on at any moment in our various hearts and minds, Father, we adore you. You are the God of glory. We worship you. We lay our hearts open before you, so come. Come to us by your Spirit. Our hearts are open. Be born in us anew this day so that every day we may spread the news of your peace. It is in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, that we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven those who debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite Don and the family.
Good morning. Good to see you. What a privilege it is to be here and to see the growing family. Lovely. Good morning. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, we read, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The Apostle Paul, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, says, hear also these words from Holy Scripture. There is one body and one spirit, and just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. The well-known verse found in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching, we read, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Baptism is the sign and seal of God's promises to this covenant people. In baptism, God promises, by grace alone, to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. This is made visible in the water of baptism. Water cleanses. It purifies. It refreshes. Excuse me, it sustains. Jesus Christ is living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and trust completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. Yes, when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, for baptism is the sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us.
Samantha and Christopher came before us to present their son, Liam Kevin, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Beloved of God, you stand before us having brought this child to receive the sacrament of baptism. I ask you, therefore, before God and Christ's church, to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? And you respond with, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior? Respond by saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Do you promise to instruct this child in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for them, to pray for him, to teach him to pray, and to train him in Christ's way by your example, through worship, and in the nurture of the church? And you can respond by saying, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Samantha, will you support Chris in keeping the promises he has made this day? And you can respond by saying, I will.
I will.
Can I invite the congregation to
please stand?
Do you promise to love, encourage, and support this brother by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service, please respond by saying, "We do." Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy worldwide church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. By all means, please be seated. We give you thanks, O holy and gracious God, for the gift of water. In the beginning of creation, your Spirit moved over the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the sea into the freedom of the promised land in the river of Jordan. John baptized our Lord, and your Spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living water, frees us from sin and death and opens the way to life everlasting. We thank you, O God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death, raised to share in his resurrection, and are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit, so that those here baptized may be washed clean and receive new life. To you be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can I invite you to? What is the name of this child? Liam Kevin Grunewald. Liam, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he died. And for you, he conquered death. All this he did for you, little one, though you know nothing of it as yet. We love because God first loved us. Liam, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May I? Liam, child of the covenant and baptism, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, this child of God is now reconciled or received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic Church. and courage to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servant until life's end. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you cleanse and renew. This your child, through your grace alone, bless and strengthen him daily with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Unfold to him the riches of your love, deepening his faith, keeping him from the power of evil, and enabling him to live a holy and blameless life until your kingdom comes. Look with kindness upon Christopher and Samantha. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Grant them the presence of your Holy Spirit, that they may bring up this child to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Amen. May I invite the congregation one more time to stand? I would like to ask for a hearty response. Hallelujah. After the following statement, brief statement.
Welcome.
A new brother in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful moment in the life of the church. See a baptism. It's very exciting. Congratulations. I would invite you to pick up your Bible if you haven't brought one with you. We'll be reading this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And before we read God's holy word, let us pray. God of love and of power, you are revealed to us in your word, in the accounts of the prophecy and fulfilled that directs our attention to Jesus Christ. Illume us now, O God, as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may open our hearts to him and yearn for his coming glory and serve him with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of the Lord, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and was asked, "Where is the one who is born, the King of the Jews? We have saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. Just as Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem prior to the birth of Christ, there was a time, and it's probably not going to happen this year, but there was a time people would travel great distances to join together with family and friends. And we would gather to celebrate the birth of Christ. I think for some, in one sense, the journey has almost started, but yet as much as we talk about our social bubble and how we can be with one another, we are still planning the importance of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It was in 1865, Philip Brooks, an Episcopal preacher who attended a five-hour Christmas Eve service. A five-hour service, you must be thinking. Wow. And yet he traveled on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem at the Church of Nativity, which still exists in Bethlehem. And Brooks listened to the celebration of that Christmas, and every Christmas song with that sacred story was presented. And as again he heard the splendid hymns that we sing each year, he fell in love with it in a new and special way. That wonderful night of our Savior's birth. 3 years later, he decided to write a hymn for the children of the congregation to sing at a Christmas celebration. And he began to reflect on that glorious service of the church and nativity. And he penned the words to the famous hymn. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. When God chose where his son was to be born, he chose a tiny little village, Bethlehem. But why would he choose Bethlehem? Why not Jerusalem? It was a place where the temple was, the house of the Lord. It was a city that was built for a king. But no, he chose Bethlehem. Why? God chose Bethlehem a long time ago, before the time even began, as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And to understand why and the significance of this place, it is vital to note that Bethlehem is mentioned 35 different times in 11 Old Testament books over a period of 1,300 years. And as we look into Bethlehem, we see that it is a tiny little village of many different perspectives. You see, Bethlehem is a place of sorrow. When Jacob was dying and said these words, but as for me, when I came from Padan to my sorrow, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way. And there was little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath. Ephrath, that is Bethlehem in Genesis 48:7. The actual record of Rachel's death is recorded in Genesis 35:16-20. They journeyed from Bethel. And when they came a little distance to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth and she had hard labor. And now when it came to pass as she was in hard labor, the midwife said to her, do not fear, for this son will live. And you will have this son also. And so it was that as her soul was departing, for she died, she called her son Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. So when Rachel died and was buried on the way from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, Jacob said to pillar on her grave, which is the pillar on Rachel's grave to this day. Rachel is the first woman recorded in Scripture to die in childbirth. And as Rachel died, the Bible says she called her son Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow, many centuries later. It's in this very place another man of sorrows was born. He would carry his sorrows in our body, not because of him. And because of him, when we lose a Christian friend or a loved one, we do not sorrow as many others would who no longer have hope. And one day, because of him, Jesus Christ, we will go to a place where sorrow will be no more. But that story continues. 1,100 years after Rachel's death, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, thus says the Lord, a voice heard in Ramah, lamenting and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they were no more. In Jeremiah 31:15. Matthew connects that Jeremiah's prophecy with another great time in sorrow when he writes, and then Herod, seeing that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he went forth and put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years and under, according to the time from when he determined the wise men. Then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted no more. In Matthew 2, 16 and 18. It's Matthew. He connects the birth of Jesus Christ with the deaths of the Jewish sons in Bethlehem from Herod's order. Matthew looks back into the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah then takes you and I all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the essence, the story of Christ's birth in Bethlehem threads its way from Matthew all the way through Scripture, right back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And so until we see the glory of the Lord's birth against the dark backdrop of the massacre in Bethlehem, we never realize the significance of his birth coming to the earth the first time. Jesus Christ came to mankind, and he came to rid us of the ugliness of sin. And there is no picture of the ugliness of sin as the massacre of infants that took place in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a place of selection. In 1 Samuel 17:12, we read that David's selection as the king of Israel. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man was old and advanced in years and in the days of Saul. Little Bethlehem provided Israel with its most endearing hero, David. David would be the first God-chosen king. In fact, Bethlehem was known as the city of David. And Jesus is called the son of David. Through the city of Bethlehem flowed that lineage and the descendants of our Savior. And so the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, another king was selected. He wasn't to be the king of Israel. He was selected to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bethlehem is a place of salvation. It's in Ruth 4:11 we read, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witness. The Lord makes the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah. The two who built the house of Israel, may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem." In this little book of Ruth, Israel is mentioned 7 times. In fact, Ruth presents to us one of the most perfect pictures of all of the Old Testament in the redeeming work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words redeem in the book of Ruth, redemption, kinsman redeemer occurs 19 times. In fact, the whole story of the Old Testament leads us up to the birth of Jesus Christ. In Bethlehem was the story of Jacob, and Jesus descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. David is selected as Israel's first king. Jesus is called the son of David. And in the genealogy of Jesus, Ruth is mentioned as being in the lineage of our Savior. And it is that one thread beautifully woven through Scripture that connects them all to this little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was symbolically prepared. Micah 5:2 reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one who will be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth from old and from everlasting." Bethlehem means house of bread. And when Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven," in John 5:51, the house of bread brings forth the bread of life. But what about the other name, Bethlehem, Ephrathah? Ephrathah means fruitfulness, to be spiritually hungry. to be thirsting. The world, through here came to us the bread of life, who teaches us to be fruitful for him. Reminding us of his first home, Jesus told his followers, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples," in John 15:8. "And you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit," John 15:16. And even in Bethlehem, the birth of our Lord and Savior, that is what we are called to do, to go and bear fruit. Bethlehem was prepared prophetically. Micah wrote in his prophecy in 722 BC, at least 600 years before Christ was born. And at the time of his birth, when Herod gathered the whole Jewish Sanhedrin together and inquired where was Jesus to be born, they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet," in Matthew 2:5. Some may say, well, maybe he wasn't born in Bethlehem. It was perhaps the Jews had just made that up. But if you go through the Gospel of Luke, Luke the historian says that the Holy Family went to Bethlehem, and there it is where Jesus was born, in Luke 2:4-5. The angel said that a Savior had been born in the city of David. The shepherd said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, that the Lord has made known to us." If we follow this closely, brothers and sisters, we see both history and prophecy confirm the truth of Micah's amazing prophecy. And what's more, when this prophecy was made, three continents known to man at that time, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Micah only chose Asia. Now, Asia has many countries. Micah mentions one country, a small area that's known as Palestine of Syria. But in Palestine, there are three districts: Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. So which one did Micah choose? Judea. But Judea has thousands of little villages, and yet Bethlehem is one little village that was chosen. The prophet reaches down, and this is fascinating, 600 years before the birth of Christ, he puts his finger down on this tiny little obscure village in Judah and says, "In that town, that is where the Savior is going to be born." With God's Spirit guiding him, Micah chose the right continent, the right country, the right district, the right city. Not Bethlehem of Zebulun, but Bethlehem of Judah. Aren't you glad that the message of Christmas rests on the accurate prophetic truths and the historical accuracy? Beyond this, the significance of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem is captured for us in the last line of Phillips Brooks' song, "Sing the Hopes and Fears of All the Years Are Met in Us Tonight." But what happens when Jesus came into Bethlehem, the real story? What's interesting is, it's an interesting fact, but the reality is why he came and how he came is such a thrilling truth. You see, Jesus loves you and I so much that when he obeyed the Father, when the Father said to him, "Son, I have a task for you to perform. I want you to leave the splendors of heaven and go down to that dirty little speck called earth. And I want you to live there for 30 some years and give your life for a ransom for the lost so I can bring them all to heaven. What was Jesus' response to the Father's call? Jesus said, "Behold, I come in the volume of the book to do your will, O God." Hebrews 10:7. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, steps out of the corridors of heaven and into the words of Philippians 2, 6, and 11. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him a name that is above all names, in that the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and on those under the earth, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate Bethlehem. Because we've been to Calvary. We celebrate the cradle because we have stood at the cross. We celebrate the coming of Christ because our sins are forgiven as a result of his coming. The wonderful message of Christmas is not all about the details, although they affirm the truth of Scripture and bring confidence to our faith. The important truth for us to remember about Christmas is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So have you believed in the Christ of Christmas? Have you put your trust in him? Have you allowed the birth of Christ to happen right here in Whitby, in Oshawa, in Ajax, in Pickering, in Myrtle? I hope I haven't missed anyone. But did you know that the Jesus born in Bethlehem wants to be born in your heart? He wants to set up his home in your life. He wants to give you directions and strength. The mighty God who wants to live within you in the person of Jesus Christ is able to do above and beyond all that you or I could ever ask or think. And not only will he forgive your sins, but he invites you to a friendship like no other. So this morning I would like to issue a challenge to each of us. Fall in love with the Christmas season again. Embrace those hopes and promises. Get excited as we celebrate in expectation of the birth of the Christ child. When we sing joy, that Christmas song, Joy to the World, sing it like you really mean it. It's early Christmas. And in some sense, there's kind of a rush on, although we don't know what that looks like as everything gets closed up and red zones and all those sort of things. And we still are anticipating Christmas. We're getting ready to celebrate it. I beg you, celebrate this Christmas like no other. Make this a Christmas you'll never forget. Throughout the years, stores and that have begged us to buy stuff, whatever the case may be. And if we buy all these right things, then we'll have a Christmas like we can never forget, even though it takes you till August to pay for it. Celebrate Christmas for what it means. You know that little jingle, "It's the most wonderful time of the year"? You can't celebrate Christmas unless you've been to Canadian Tire and Walmart. We think of that rush that society puts on all of us. I beg you to step out of the rat race. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate it. And thank God for the gift of Christ now and every day. Let the upcoming weeks excite you with anticipation, celebrating the birth of Christ, not the gift-giving and the partying and whatever the case may be in your social bubble. I think Billy Graham said it so well when it comes to Christmas. Most of us know about God, but there's very few of us who know God. Let me repeat that. Most of us know about God, but it's quite a bit different from knowing God. Fall in love once again with the expectation of the birth of Jesus Christ. So often we focus on the death of Christ, but he had to be born first. Can you imagine the expectation and that perspective of how important this is in your life? In the life of your children. In the life of your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, you are encouraged to celebrate this season with wonder and awe, hope, expectation, joy, and celebration. E.B. White, an American writer, said once, he said, "To perceive Christmas through its wrapping becomes more difficult for us each year. Celebrate Christmas that the birth of Christ is coming, and it's not over. Celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ with the perspective that we are to. Embrace the good news. Share it with one another. Yes, this happened so many years ago in that tiny little town called Bethlehem. And it can happen right here again, right now, right in your heart, right in your life. Live it to its fullest." And all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, from whom all people wait and search, even though they don't realize it, we cry out today for a live and present word from you. As our season of discontent approaches the day of your coming, we pray that you will speak to us in the graceful ways that you know best. Open our eyes that have been closed by fear, blinded by self-pity, that we may see you in the anxieties and uncertainties that threaten to overwhelm us like a cloud of darkness. Help us to see beyond the hustle and the bustle and the crowded stores, rude shoppers, impatient drivers, frayed generosities. Enable us, Father, to show the smallest tasks of hope, love, and generosity that you will enable in us to perform. We pray that the promise of your birth, the peace on earth, will soon be filled, both in our troubled hearts and in our troubled world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to please rise for the blessing. God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, give you the grace to prepare for eternal life. God the Son, who comes to us as Redeemer and Judge, reveal to you the path from darkness into light. God, the Holy Spirit, by whose working the Virgin Mary conceived the Christ, help you bear fruits of holiness. Amen. Let us go out singing, "Like a River Glorious."